from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everyone. If you're listening to this now, you have your CRM 114 set to receive code prefix OPE. Congratulations. How is it, guys? How are you doing? How's it going today?
Good.
The gang's all here today. Something smells like cough drops in here.
Could be the Gobstoppers.
There's so much candy. It could be anything.
Nerds.
Yeah, it's so Justine is here.
Some nerds.
It could be her LaCroix.
Patrick's here.
LaCroix.
It's pronounced LaCroix.
LaCroix.
Jake is here.
Hello.
John Sandy's here.
Howdy.
I think it's my hand.
It's your hands. It's her hand sanitizer.
Why do your hands smell like cough drops?
I smell my finger. Smell it.
Wow. Holy
it
Moses.
It smells like fish.
It's a black Merlot.
Da, 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 da.
Well, drive,
yeah, da, black, da, da,
drive safe, everybody. Da, da,
da. Black cherry Merlot.
It's been a great show.
The best scent.
Wow. Is a Merlot hand sanitizer?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You're really perpetuating that stereotype.
You can drink it
all young people loving
put it on your hands.
You smell like a wino. Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey.
Like wino is a word you don't hear too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great word.
Man. Not enough.
Wino. You got to love a wino with some great legs, though.
That is
a
hey. Hello.
That's a term, and I don't know what it means.
Well, you know. That's it.
Don't quote me, I don't say shit.
This show's off to a weird start.
I know.
Yeah.
Should we start over?
It's
no,
weird.
I love
no.
it. Leave it.
Da da da.
Da da da.
Bum, 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 welcome to the Superiority Complex. It's time for our digital movie club, guys. We watch movies from my digital movie library. I make the kids watch them, and then we talk about them. The only one that doesn't really have to watch them is John, because he's seen them all. Except
most
for the Magnificent Seven. John, what are the only ones you've seen? You saw...
So, Pork Chop Hill, I hadn't seen.
Which you loved.
And Magnificent Seven, I hadn't seen.
Which you loved.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
movies.
All of the good
yeah.
ones.
So every once in a while.
Oh, by the way, Justine, I just wanted to tell you, for you to, I know you're in this Charles Bronson mode.
Yeah.
I forgot one really good movie he did in the 70s. It's a Western. He does have a mustache in it, but it's really good. And what you will like about it is it was written by the same guy who wrote Guns of Navarone.
Mm-hmm.
And Where Eagles Dare.
I like both of those.
It is a movie called Breakheart Pass.
Oh, yeah.
And it stars his wife, Jill Ireland.
That's right.
I don't want to see his wife. Why are you ruining this for me?
Wow, you really do like Charles Bronson, don't you? He has a wife?
Just don't tell her what her name
she
is.
They weren't married
like.
Yet?
They made a lot of movies together.
They sure did.
I bang him while his wife's on the screen.
That was his Sandra Locke.
Yes. There you go. There you go. Probably, you probably had a little more respect for her than... Clint did for Sandra Locke, though, because...
I don't know. I wouldn't hazard a guess, but it is interesting. I think they worked together, and at some point they got married, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and you know, she was married, I think, to David McCallum.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think at some point they broke up and...
Got tired, and he wrote...
If I got that right, I think she was married originally to David McCallum.
Then he went and wrote the next episode for Dr. Dre, and then... right?
David McCallum, mm-hmm. Dr. Dre.
That's the song that they used the sample of.
Yeah. What is the song?
The next episode.
Oh,
well, no, that's the name of this. I don't know what the name of you know the song.
Of the song.
I'm not
the album's called The Next Episode?
No, the song. Dr. Dre?
Oh,
mm-hmm. The next episode?
Next which episode?
Which one?
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun.
Sorry, we have to stop.
We just like to press.
You know, they forgot about Dre.
Who?
They.
Who's they?
This omnipotent they. Who is they?
Who are they? How did they forget about Dre?
Wait, is this the start of his little mustache, though?
Ooh, fan. Dr. Dre?
That is funny that people...
That's the song by David McCallum.
Yeah. Oh, I know this song.
That's the song they sample.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Da-da-da-da-da. It's the one and only Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg!
You're not allowed to rap along if you don't know the name of the song. That's my
just because
rap.
I don't know the name of the song doesn't mean I don't know the song.
I just dropped.
Guess he's back.
Some bars
back
on
again. Shady's back. Tell a friend.
It's funny when things get sampled.
Back,
you know,
back,
at work, and I go, "Hey, Joe Cocker. Hey, Little Richard." They go, "No, it's."
Oh, the song is called "The Edge" by David McCallum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, didn't even know it either.
Oh, huh?
What does that one sound like?
Can't talk shit.
I couldn't remember.
Talk shit, get hit.
I forgot he did albums. Yeah.
Now you can see David McCallum as Ducky on NCIS.
I've heard this version, though. It might be on a soundtrack or something. Da-da-da-da-da.
I like it.
Because he did orchestral stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Kessel Run?
That's right.
12 parsecs.
That's right.
Isn't this in a movie?
Yeah, it's when Felix is going to kill himself.
Is it really? No, it's not.
It's
no, I didn't think about it for a second.
Smooth.
I'm like...
It sounds like a soundtrack, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear I've heard it somewhere else, too, because I thought it was funky.
It is funky. I think he knew how to conduct or something. You know, he's, I think on the TNT show, he's like conducting the orchestra or something.
Could say he orchestrated the whole thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
You might say that.
All right, guys. What are we going to talk about first? So the movies we watched this time were...
You haven't done the intro.
Yeah, we haven't done the intro.
Well, hold on. You want to do the intro?
Yeah, we have to do the intro.
Dun, dun. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
Digital movies. Digital movies. Digital movies. You're in the club.
We have jackets.
People are getting their ears blown out right
now. Yeah, it's probably true. Sorry.
Welcome.
Sorry, Nicole's going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
I had to take my headphones off and everything.
Let's, what do we, so we watched The Odd Couple.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We watched, we're rounding up the 60s. We watched a bunch of movies we didn't get to that I don't own.
You don't own these movies?
I don't. I should own Doctor Strange, though, at the very least.
You should at least own.
No one needs to own Night of the Living Dead because it's always been in the public domain. So.
Do you know that there's now a Criterion edition of that?
Is there finally?
With the best possible print and a bunch of commentary tracks.
I watched the Amazon one, the 50th anniversary.
That's the one we watched.
The 4K transfer.
That's the one I watched, yeah.
And guess what?
Doesn't hold up.
The same.
Yeah. No, it's cleaner. I dare say it's cleaner than what you saw on Channel 13 in the
70s. Of course.
As a matter of fact, I think the opening shot, they show you the difference.
No.
On the disc, they show you what it looked like.
Oh, very nice.
And then they go boom and they clean it up and show you what it looks like now.
What else we watch?
Watch The Odd Couple.
Uh huh.
Night of the Living Dead.
Uh huh.
Doctor Strange.
And Doctor Strange Love. Or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love
the
Bomb.
Bomb.
Yep.
So where do you want to start, guys? This is a nice...
Start with Night of the Living Dead.
No, it's Halloween. We're starting with Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, it's a good place to start.
Who among us had seen... Show of hands for the people at home. Who among us had seen Night of the Living Dead before the Digital Movie Club?
Wow.
John and I are raising our hand.
Not I.
Wow, you guys had never seen it? This is a horror classic?
I know what it's about. I know the basic premise.
But it'd be interesting to see if it had any
effect. I think everybody
effect.
Knows the basic premise.
This may be my favorite horror movie of all time.
But I want...
Oh, yeah.
Because you were a child when you saw it?
Yep.
I love that you were a child.
But it's also because it's good and so many other things steal from it.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it played for people that have seen... much gorier stuff.
But you got to remember,
this is where they set the bar. You know,
68.
Yeah.
Every zombie movie, everything from The Walking Dead, Shaun of the Dead, everything, this is where it starts.
When a man is walking down towards the house with a freaking intestine noodle flapping in his hand in the wind, it's pretty gory.
Right? Or when they're using like a burning truck as a buffet line.
Yes. As a barbecue. Just roasting.
Barbecue.
Yeah, it's a nice little barbecue.
Yeah, the zombies in this movie obviously differ a little from what we know now. Back in those days,
they took turns getting food.
They're smarter. Nice.
They're very smart.
They can use the car.
They can use tools.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
they're afraid of fire, which would change later on. They have some semblance of intelligence, which I think makes them scarier. Even though they can't move, the running zombies. These aren't running zombies, but they're not slow. Because they went after the car. Anyway.
Yeah, they said they were slow on the newscast. And I'm like, these guys are not slow.
Yeah.
He's running. He's chasing. That's not.
When compared to an Olympic sprinter, sure.
The fast zombie started with 28 Days Later, right?
Yes.
No, Dawn of the...
The remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Or was it 28 Days
Later? I thought it was 28 Days Later.
They both were kind of like rushing. I think they came out the same month even.
Yeah. It's a different kind of zombie. That's more of like a feral, like, you know, primal or like
But that was kind of a different thing. Primitive. Like, oh, they're running now. And also they're like turning immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
These take a little bit.
Yeah, not too long, though.
Couple minutes.
Not really.
They said a couple minutes.
It's
couple
like
minutes.
A minute. Yeah, not long.
All right, let's, who should we start with here? Let's start with Jake. Jake, you had never seen it?
Never seen it before.
Never seen it.
Obviously, I've heard of it, and I know up the premise. It's mm-hmm. the first, like, it's the first big zombie movie.
Initial reaction, sir.
I was disturbed for a good half of the movie.
Ah, yeah. It's not accomplished.
It's not necessarily what's going on is what's so terrifying. It's just the visual, like, it's just a lot of the visuals that are showing, like, when they do the whole buffet line for, like, out of the car, and they're eating like it's nothing, and it's just the sound of it, and it's, ugh.
Yeah, some lady's digging into, like, raw, like, guts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just chomping on some dude's femur, like mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. Some guy's tearing at it, like sharing some intestines.
I think the fact that, John and I have talked about this, the fact that it's low budget and black and white makes it
scary.
Make it seem more realistic.
Almost
somehow.
Like a documentary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like Cinema Verite or something.
Yeah,
definitely. And acting was pretty good.
Yeah.
What's the bald-headed guy's? I can't remember his name.
The man who deserved to get shot.
He was actually the producer of the movie.
Cooper?
Man who should have been shot a long time
Cooper?
Ago.
Oh, Cooper.
Yeah. Cooper. It's Mr. Cooper.
I didn't know that. He's the producer, huh?
Yeah, and the woman who played his wife, they were partners. She was like an acting coach.
Ah.
So they were all Pittsburgh. They were all like, he found all these guys. And the guy who played Dwayne Jones, who played the main character, he was actually like he was an acting coach as well. He started like he was an English professor, I think.
Oh wow!
As well, yeah.
He did a great job.
So you liked it? You did like it?
Yeah,
scary.
Absolutely.
You could see where it.
The first girl whose brother died,
uh-huh.
first one,
Barbara.
Kind of bugged me a little bit.
Yeah,
but
she seems like the worst actress of the bunch.
Yes.
Well, she was literally just like. Staring at the couch.
She was out of it.
She's like, catatonic. But
I don't know, I didn't throw her out.
But you could tell
I would have thrown out Cooper.
She's the worst actress of the bunch.
I would have thrown her
even
out.
Though she's supposed to be catatonic. It's like, she's just bad.
It felt kind of mad.
Use her as bait.
Yeah.
I would use Cooper as bait. That guy is a fucking asshole.
You feel bad for her because she obviously went through some trauma.
Yeah.
She left her brother.
Well,
he's... knocked cold and
you're in
a
survival
actor.
Scenario. Get over it.
Well, I think it's obvious that he was
mourn
dead.
Later.
You know?
They reunited eventually.
Yeah.
Reunited and
that's
ow!
A
good. Why are you biting me?
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Patrick, what did you think of this one?
I have some mixed feelings about this.
You loved every second of it.
I really, really liked like the gore and the graphics. I thought that like the way it shot is really,
yes.
really good. Her acting drove me crazy. Barbara's was terrible. The ending was really interesting, and I kind of figured it was going to happen, but you know,
it's
touched
very
on a little different topic. It's just like boom, oh shit, okay,
all right, he's dead.
But overall, I mean, the way we shot it was really nice. I thought this was. I can see how this would be scary when it first came out.
Yes,
and
if
like
I saw
the
this
gore
in the 60s.
Alone. Is like something that today would still freak people out because mm-hmm. that was pretty graphic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the little kid, that was wonderful.
Yes.
You knew it was going to happen, but it was just wonderful.
Well, when he goes downstairs and she's chewing on the dad.
Not even, it's not even that. It's when she grabs the trowel and starts stabbing the mom. You're like, damn.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about this. They don't, in other movies, they eat you. In this movie, they kill you first.
And then eat
you. And then eat you. Like, yeah, it's so weird.
Because they're just kind of figuring out the ground rules. they're making it up as they go along. They haven't quite set it up yet.
But it works.
That there's rules, yeah.
Justine! Let's go to Justine. What did you think, Justine?
I liked it.
With
it's
reservations.
Very,
yeah, and then?
It's very predictable, but it's probably because it came from that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You were expecting everyone to die?
I
expected them to die, but I thought that guy would get out. But then as soon as I knew that he was going to live, I'm like, oh, something's going to happen.
So well, actually,
it wasn't predictable.
You kind of figured he wasn't going to live when you saw that all the police officers were white. You're
mm-hmm.
just like, oh, okay, he's not going to make it.
I'm like, how did they not notice he's holding a gun?
And Dwayne Johnson, no, that's The Rock.
The Rock!
Dwayne Jones, he argued with Romero. He wanted him to die. He's like, it wouldn't be realistic if he lived.
I agree. That was
It was. I just thought he was gonna step out and like maybe get hurt, and then they would shoot him because he was walking like one. But the way it happened was a little weird to me. I'm like, he's holding a gun. Why?
It was a dark house.
They're not
dark
all
house. You
a...
see a figure in there. Just shoot it.
Yeah. Stupid. It was a.
But I mean, it was good. That was, I like that.
That was
ending.
Definitely commentary.
I was going to say,
I
why
was just
didn't
telling Patrick before the show, or Jake. I'm sorry, before the show.
Fuck you.
The imagery of them going in to get his body with hooks. With
oh
the hooks.
Yeah, that was harsh.
It's yeah, there's definitely a little commentary there mm-hmm. on 1960s America.
It's 68. Yeah. So yeah,
reminds
it's
me of Texas Chainsaw
South
Massacre.
Even
what were you gonna say before I cut you off, Jake?
I don't remember because I went on I. My brain went on a tangent, okay. And then I came back.
This whole time you've been holding that zombie.
And I yeah, do like when she first goes in the house, though, and it's dark around the camera,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just that light on her.
Yeah.
That made it pretty scary.
What about when they find the lady upstairs?
That was actually the only part I thought was scary. Because I was surprised they even showed something like that.
The house
close
like, her
up on
eye
the eyeball.
Is still there.
I mean, that was like a nice inclination to the gore for the movie. You're just like, oh... You're not really going to see much, and then you're like, oh, shit, wait, yeah. Oh, God. They and kinda, then it just got worse.
I didn't know they were going to do
it. It escalated
guts.
Like crazy.
They kind of lull you into a sense that maybe this is just be like an old dark house thing. You know?
Nope. Yeah.
John, what did you think?
Well, you know, for its time, it's pretty damn effective. It's still effective.
Yeah.
I'd say even with everything that's come 50 years after, it's still pretty effective.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still good, particularly considering what they... What they had for a budget, they really made it look good for what they had. They were just
like
on a
hundred and
a shoestring.
Some thousand,
yeah,
and it made 30 million or something.
And it ran forever. I was reading a thing on, you know, it ran on the first run, you know, and I don't think it was rated. In those days, they said we're just gonna have to put this out without a rating. I think I'm pretty sure, or that actually might have been pre-ratings.
I'm sure people were just running out.
But the thing is, it did its first run, and then it started, it had sort of a pattern. After that, it played like midnight showings. It might have been one of the first movies that kind of kicked off that whole concept of doing midnight shows, like a cult movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that it played for a couple years on that circuit, kind of playing like L.A. and New York on the midnight showing circuit. And then it started running again, like they revived it like a couple years later. So this thing ran for about 2 years. And yeah, by the time it was done, yeah, they made this huge profit. Although I don't know that Romero saw the profit right away. I think it was one of those typical things where I don't think he saw the money for quite some time.
Yeah.
But then he was in demand. After this movie, he said, okay, we want this guy to do a sequel. And it took him like 10 years. He said he wanted to give it a rest. He didn't want to do like another zombie movie right off the bat. So he said, I waited 5 years, and then it took me 5 years to get it off the ground, and that was Dawn of the Dead.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, takes it to another level. But he said, you know, this was just kind of like they had a low budget. And he said, well, let's do a horror movie. You know, it wasn't like a burning desire to do a horror movie. But once this thing made its mark, he said, oh, if I'm not careful, I'm just going to be known as the zombie guy, you know.
And he kind of is.
He is. And then he accepted it. After Dawn of the Dead, he just said, well, I guess this is what I'm going to be known for. So
why not?
Though? Yeah.
It's a good thing to be known for.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's some scenes that are still very effective, you know. Mm-hmm.
This movie, I caught this as a kid.
Poor little
sorry.
Mario.
No, it was great.
Poor little baby Mario.
Is this the one you saw at the house? And it kind of...
That was my brother.
Okay.
My brother saw this on, you know, my grandparents had a ranch house that was out in the middle of the edge of town. And there was nothing around, especially, and he was staying the night with my
yeah,
grandparents. And he was in the living room, and he said he was watching, flipping through the channels, like Channel 56 or something, and the movie had just started. So he's watching it, and all of a sudden, he's like, holy cow. And then when they get to the house, you know, my grandparents had a gas pump out front in front of the house, and my brother's like, holy cow, this is what?
This movie's about this house.
Yeah, exactly. But he started, you know, his imagination ran wild, like, you know, this could happen here. You know, what if they, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Rose Hills isn't that far away. What if they... You know.
Yeah, because it looks like it's just happening somewhere. It doesn't look like a movie. And,
yeah.
And a lot of scenes, it doesn't look like a movie. It just looks like they just sort of filmed it happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good stuff. You know, get mm-hmm. those zombies.
And boy, it just it started a whole franchise. You know,
we're waiting for Johnny. Where's Johnny?
We have to go back. I love it. And then, yeah,
Johnny's dead.
You recognize him with the gloves coming through the door. It's like, oh, there he is.
There's Johnny. And then
and he's dead.
And then she went right in there.
He should have said, I'm coming to get you, Barbara.
Yeah.
I wish she did.
Yeah. He's doing the old Boris Karloff.
I know. He's doing a bad Karloff. So bad it took me years to figure that out. Oh, he's doing Karloff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have said, it's a graveyard smash.
What a great movie. What I love about this movie, watching it again, is how the way they add to it with the news broadcast that's going on. Because that seems very realistic.
That looks very effective. Those do not look like actors, and they probably aren't.
They're probably real news people.
And that's so dry that you go, oh, yeah. And actually, it's in the middle of, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
You go, this is probably the way it would sound if they were getting this stuff.
Yeah. And, it's the whole space probe, and then it...
Also, it was very slow. I love the way at first they're like, well, we don't know what's happening, but there's, mobs of mass, they're just mobs of people out there killing, and then they go, well, we think it might have something to do with this meteor that landed.
They really don't know. They're just it could be this blown up, it could be, medical, it could be gas, we don't know.
Yeah. And then talking to those congressmen, and they can't decide. They're like, well, it could be, oh, it's absolutely, they're following him. Any further...
Oh, that's the one thing I did notice. The guy with the huge mustache... They should have swapped roles with the other guy because that's not military. The guy has super long hair.
You should have played the doctor. You're going, really? What arm of the military let you grow a beard and mustache like that?
A giant mustache. Yeah.
It's the 60s, man.
I love this movie. I give it an 8. Ocho, what do you say, John?
I give it a 7. Yeah.
Low.
You know what? I'm not really big on zombie movies. It's they kind of, I don't know. The first one that really got me excited was 28 Days Later.
Oh, okay.
And I know that's not a typical zombie movie. And also World War Z. World War Z I thought was really good. I've seen that a couple times since, and it really holds up. So I don't know. A lot of the more traditional ones, they kind of leave me cold. I never got into The Walking Dead.
What about Will Smith's zombie?
I Legend.
I am Legend.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that? That wasn't bad. That was Omega Man, Charlton Heston. But originally it was Vincent Price, the last man on Earth.
Which was a direct influence. That and Carnival of Souls, which we didn't get to watch.
Oh, that's
were
a good
a direct
one.
Influence on Night of the Living Dead.
I forgot about Carnival of Souls. That's a big influence on this when you think about it.
Yeah, it's really good.
But the whole thing about the boarding up the doors and having to stay stay vigilant at night, that's all from Last Man on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the, Richard Matheson, I Am Legend?
Yep, that's it, yeah.
And in that one, he feels like he's the last survivor. It takes him a while to figure out he isn't. And so the whole image of that clutching hand coming through the boarded up window, that's right out of Last Man on Earth.
Yeah, that's right. What did you give this one, Jake?
I give it an 8. Good. I really liked it.
You're a good boy,
good.
Jake.
Good boy.
Good boy.
You get a treat.
This is a good boy.
I was going to give it.
This is a mama's angel.
Yeah, I was going to give it 8.5, but one of the lead?
Barbara.
Barbara just drove me insane.
Takes it down.
Take it down 0.5 point.
We have to get
Still
Johnny.
Better than Shane.
Still better than Shane.
Because she was quiet.
Thank God.
Poor Babs. Patrick.
This is a 7 for me.
7. I'll take it.
I was okay with it.
I'll take it. Justine. Lay that 5 on me.
Just give it a 5.
She changed her answer because she was going to say 5.
No, I give it a 7.
What?
What?
Just like what they showed in this one film. And
better
to
than
think
Casablanca.
That it wasn't in any other film before that is pretty good. Because when she got the blonde, when she went to go hold her brother, she's hugging him, and then he turns her into the crowd. I'm like, whoa.
You're just like, like, here, everybody,
I've seen this.
Time to eat.
I've seen this before, but it's just lunchtime. Crazy to think that all of that was in this one movie.
Yeah, and it's crazy at the time to think, because you remember, it's always like, okay, there's a lot of things you've never seen in this before.
Yeah.
You have... The kid who died in turns.
Yeah.
That's like crazy. Like,
that is crazy.
You know, we're years before The Exorcist here. We're like 5 years before The Exorcist.
Yeah.
You know, you have he just straight up shoots Cooper. Like, just like,
thank God.
Like,
no.
Does not
like,
care.
That felt so good.
Justified.
Felt
he
so
also
good.
You know, he also punched her in the face.
Yeah, but she deserved it.
That makeup though, with that dark.
Didn't punch her. She slapped him, then he slapped her back.
No,
he didn't slap. He punched.
Is that right?
He
straight up
fist
punched her
and went like that.
What? Cooper?
Mm-hmm. No, not Cooper.
Dwayne Jones. What's I forgot his name. Is
she
Ben?
Slapped him.
It's
and
before
then he
they
punched.
Find them in the basement.
Then she goes unconscious.
Yeah, she like snaps out of it for a second, and then she's like,
What's interesting is
I'll just stay quiet again.
What's interesting is through the rest of the movie, he's trying to protect her. Every time they're like you know, forget about her. He's all, no, the girl stays up here, you know.
Yeah, I don't think he was doing it to try.
He knew that she's just hysterical and out of her head.
Well, I think too, like he realized that the basement was a horrible idea.
Oh, that's, yeah.
You know, he's like, it's a death trap. You go down there, it's a death trap. And he went down there.
You could almost hear the whole audience saying, no, once you're down there, you're stuck. You know, if they get through the door, that's it. You got no place to run.
Just run out into the open field.
And he was so cool the way he handled everything. He's so cool.
The one thing that made me laugh this time was that, like, I never realized that he's telling a story about, like, he's in the truck and he's listening to the radio and the gas thing comes by and they're hanging on and it blows up the whole thing and he looks and the diner's encircled and he gets it all out and then the girl starts telling the story and like they just cut to him like looking around like not paying attention and then like
well yeah because her story sucked compared to his
and then he's just all I think you better calm down like, it's so funny
this is bullshit
I know the look on his face is all yeah but we gotta get these doors boarded up.
The way she told the story was horrible. Her grammar was bad, and I just... Ugh.
I loved it.
That guy was cool, though.
He's the look on his face is like, you're going to be no help. It's like I'm alone.
I kind of wish they said, like, where he came from. Like, military, like, what?
Doesn't matter.
No, he was just...
It's almost better that he's just...
It just sucks. It was a bummer to see he didn't make it.
Yeah.
You felt real.
Well, bad. I thought at the time, like, how this probably rubbed people the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
The lead, the hero is black. Yeah.
And not only that, he's telling the white people what to do because I was like, yes.
Oh, I love
that. And not only that, the hero doesn't make it. Like, the lead doesn't make it. That doesn't happen.
And then George Romero said, you know, the whole point of that was this was not written for anybody in particular. This was not written, you know.
Yeah, he said he gave the best audition. So
exactly.
He
was the best. And he says this was not written for. Any particular ethnicity. It just was written. This was the best actor, so he gets it.
Yeah.
And that must have rubbed people the wrong way, that he's the hero.
Yeah,
you know?
I love it.
Yeah, 68.
Well, I was telling Patrick.
In the South, this couldn't have played well.
Minority lead, what the hell?
I was telling, not Patrick, I was telling Jake. I always get you guys confused. I'm so
fuck
sorry.
Fuck yeah.
I was telling Jake before, I go, everybody who's like huge Second Amendment guy, this is their movie because they're like, look, that's us at the end. We're the heroes.
Exactly.
We're... I like when the show's like, oh, they're all messed up.
I know that sounded like a complete ad lib. They're all messed up.
That's it, man. Sweeping. They've got the dogs out there, and they're just.
I know. That's when you're going. They're as scary as the zombies.
Well, that's the thing.
What's scarier, a bunch of rednecks with rifles or the zombies?
I know. I asked Patrick, I'm like, are zombie dogs in this universe?
All right, what should we move on to next?
Resident Evil.
I forgot to give you the stats on Night of the Living Dead here. Let's do that real quick.
8.7 on IMDb.
You think so?
I think so.
What did you rate it, Mario?
I gave it an 8. 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. 8 out of 10 on IMDb.
That was close.
Roger Ebert gives it 3.5 out of 4. Released October 1, 1968. Director George.
When are things out of 4?
Well, that's Roger Ebert. He always does 4 stars.
5 stars.
It's interesting that Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel both wrote reviews of this movie before they were a team on television. They both wrote reviews for this movie. I think they both thought there was something worthy. You know, they didn't just shrug it off. They both said, there's something going on here that we haven't seen before, you know.
Hold on. This is just in.
Welcome to a night of total terror.
Oh, when she screams in the basement, that was ridiculous.
She had a bad scream.
Well, the scream sounded before she did.
Of the living dead. The dead who live on living flesh. The dead whose haunted souls hunt the living. The living whose bodies are the only food for these ungodly creatures. Of the living dead. A bizarre adventure in fear. An experience in shock more shattering than your strangest nightmare. Night of the living dead. A night with the dead who cannot die. A night of total...
They killed poor Judy and, what's her name?
Yeah.
Tom and Judy?
I know, you didn't see that coming. I thought they were going to live a little longer, you know?
She went out.
Yeah. I just remembered something I read that when Roger Ebert saw this, because it wasn't rated, they couldn't come up with a rating for this. They said this is the screening he went to was a regular screening, and he said there was a lot of kids in the audience.
Oh, no.
Because it wasn't rated, there's no way to keep them out. They didn't really know what it was about. They just thought, it's just another scary movie.
Hey, and, Mommy, look, that one.
And he said
naked.
When it was over, there was a lot of younger kids in the audience. It looked like they were just traumatized. Like, they didn't know what they had just sat through. They just looked like they were never going to be the same. And so it's one of the last movies, I think, that was able to go out unrated, you know?
Wow. Well, look at Disney. They killed off Spider-Man and everyone else's heroes.
Oh, my God.
Not quite the same as eating somebody's liver while they're still laying on the ground. You know?
I still remember that child going, no, not Spider-Man!
Spider-Man, what should we do? We have a lot to unpack with the... We're going to do this one next. Let's listen to the trailer for our next movie, shall we?
It's going to be The Odd Couple because there's a lot to talk about with Dr. Strangelove.
What's wrong, Oscar?
Something wrong with this system. That's what's wrong. I don't think that two single men living alone in a big 8-room apartment should have a cleaner house than my mother.
Starring Jack Lemmon, a hypochondriac.
He's only $1.50.
Neater than neat, cleaner than clean. No wonder his wife kicked him out.
Stop that, will you? What are you doing?
I'm trying to clear up my ears.
Did it open up?
I think I strained my throat.
Walter Matthau, another guy whose wife left him. And his pad looks like she left it a long time ago.
Who wants food? What do you got? I got brown sandwiches and green sandwiches. Which one do you want?
What's the green?
It's either very new cheese or very old meat.
I'll take the brown.
Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, who try to enjoy all possible delights of a shared bachelor apartment.
Yes, bowling. Bowling is a wonderful exercise, Felix, but that's not the kind of relaxation I had in mind. I mean, the night was made for other things.
Like what?
Like, unless I get to touch something soft in the next 2 weeks, I'm in big trouble.
They're together, bringing to all America the laughter of Neil Simon's Broadway smash hit.
Boy, this is really nice.
Yeah. And ever so much cooler than our place.
Oh, cooler.
Yes. Oh, it's like equatorial Africa on our side of the building. Well, last night it was so bad, Gwen and I sat there in nature's own, cooling ourselves in front of the open fridge. Can you imagine such a thing?
Well, I'm working at it.
Honestly.
You had your chance to talk last night. I beg you to come upstairs with me.
If you want to live here, I don't want to see you, I don't want to hear you, I don't want to smell you cooking.
Now, kindly remove that spaghetti from my poker tape.
It's not spaghetti. It's linguine.
This is a preview?
This is all the best parts of the movie.
Now it's garbage.
Garbage.
Come on! Get out!
Idiot!
Hey, Oscar! What do I make for dinner?
That was a good chunk of the movie.
Nope.
It's the whole damn movie.
It is.
These things were like 2 hours long back then.
Yeah, I think trailers were a lot longer. Yeah,
that's what she said.
Oh ho ho!
Wow.
Just
sitting there in nature's own.
Let's ask before we start. Who among us had seen this film before the Digital Movie Club introduced it to you? John and I once again raise our hands.
I saw the sequel.
You saw The Odd Couple 2 before you saw The Odd Couple?
Wow.
I didn't see The Odd Couple 2.
There
is an Odd Couple 2. Because those Grumpy Old Men movies were making so much money, they said, well, I don't know how they talked Neil Simon into it. He wrote a sequel, which was like 30 years after the fact.
Was it bad?
It wasn't terrible. It was unnecessary.
Odder Couple?
I went to go see it.
They called it The Older Couple.
It wasn't awful. It's what you would expect, you know. It's kind of like just sort of on the heels of all those grumpy old men movies, you know.
Let's pick Justine to go first this time. Justine, what did you think of this movie?
I love this movie.
Did you?
Yay. Well, I love them too. And I felt bad for Patrick. Before all it was starting, I'm like, I love these two actors a lot.
Well, they are, I mean, the whole movie works because of them.
Mm-hmm. So they're hilarious. Their facial expressions, their humor, it's just great.
Watching it this time, I watched it with Nicole, and Nicole had never seen it.
What'd she think?
She loved it.
Yeah.
She loved it. By the way, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Of course.
3.5 out of 4 from Roger Ebert. 7.7 on IMDb. IMDb is always
super stingy. Yeah.
But you'd seen a lot of the grumpy old men movies.
So yeah.
This is where it pretty much starts. They'd made one movie together before this, The Fortune Cookie. And Walter Matthau won an Academy Award for that. And that's when people started going, oh, they got good chemistry together. They said, this could be a good matchup. Because Walter Matthau was the original Oscar in the play, but it was Art Carney playing Felix, and they didn't want him to do the movie. They wanted a bigger name. And they said, hey, let's get Jack Lemmon, because they were great together in The Apartment. So that's how it all starts. And they even wanted Billy Wilder to direct The Odd Couple movie, and they couldn't afford him. They said, we're going to pay Jack Lemmon so much. It's before Walter Matthau was a big movie star. And they said, all the money we're paying Jack Lemmon means we can't afford Billy Wilder. We're going to have to get somebody else.
And they got Gene Sachs, who went on to do... He did a lot of plays.
A lot of Broadway plays. And he had done the movie. He had directed the movie of Barefoot in the Park, which was another Neil Simon play. And so they said, well, this is the guy. He knows how to do Neil Simon, and it won't cost as much as Billy Wilder. And he did a great job. Yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
You're just... Thank you for mansplaining that to Justine.
No, I just...
Damn!
Just a...
Okay, Jake.
Somebody has
You're
to do
always
it.
Welcome, John. Don't worry. We're not mad.
I mean, as much as I like seeing women in film, it was nice to see them not going after a girl. It was more centralized around their relationship.
Yes.
And it wasn't considered gay, so I loved that.
Well, that was the whole thing. It was the idea.
It was nice. Like, they didn't, and they cried, and it was fine. Like,
it was the idea that they had a domestic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without, yeah.
I love how he kept calling him Francis. He's all, okay, Blanche.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know he was doing it. All right, see you tomorrow, Francis.
That was so cute, but I mean, I love their dynamic. It's
Nicole
great.
Thought it was funny that she was shocked that they showed men having concern for another man in that way in the beginning. She goes, you know, that's really...
It's refreshing to see.
It was. She goes, it really was. She was kind of surprised that they were all that concerned about.
They were like, yeah, it's funny because when he says, how can you talk to me like this? He says, because I love you almost as much as you do.
Yeah.
You're my best friend. But it's just it really rings true because everybody's had either a roommate. They said that's why everyone loves this movie, because everyone's either had a roommate that was annoying like that, or they've had a wife or a husband, a spouse. Everyone's had to live with somebody.
Family member.
Who was the other side. Yeah. You know?
I always thought John and I would be like a good mix, except we'd be two Oscar Madisons. It would just be like, look what I brought home today from the records. Great. Look what I got.
But everyone's been in that sort of position. And that's where it originated, was Neil Simon's brother. He was a divorced guy, and he was living with a good friend who was also divorced. And it became apparent real quick, oh, this is not going to work. This guy's a neatnik, you know, and...
Yeah, I mean, and we saw it in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Like, they were close friends.
Yes.
But they were sharing a woman. That was a little weird.
That was a little weird.
But this one's set in more modern times, and that was cool.
Sharing a woman, sharing an apartment, you know.
Do you know if it was filmed in New York?
It was.
Okay.
It was. Like, all that location stuff, that's New York.
Yeah,
I think
really
all
nice.
Of the stuff in the apartment, it was shot out here on a set.
That's right.
But the stadium looked like Angel Stadium.
No, that was actually Shea Stadium.
And they did a game of a game.
It was before the game.
Oh, I was so mad when he missed that. And,
you know,
here's
the thing. Roberto Clemente, the baseball legend who later died in a plane crash, they wanted him to hit into the triple play, and he wouldn't do it.
I wonder why. Do
he didn't
want to
do it. He probably didn't want to be the guy that hit into a triple play.
Yeah.
He said no. They gave him a chance. He said no, so... They got to, I forgot who it was.
Because in the play, it all takes place in the apartment. They never go out of the apartment. So they said, when we do the movie, we'll have to write a couple scenes where they're out looking for him, or they're bowling, or having... They said that whole diner scene works great. Mm-hmm. How do other people respond to Felix? They said that was a great, like, how are other people going to look at this guy?
I don't remember that scene. What scene are you talking about?
And I like the cop friend, too. He was
Murray. Oh, yeah, he was great.
He was just so sweet. I really liked him.
I'll take the brown.
Murray the cop.
Murray the cop.
I haven't eaten today.
I love that whole thing. Is she pregnant? No, just fat. How could you hear that? I was covering the phone.
Yeah, I like how they're like, no, it's your wife. Okay, dear.
I wish you were having an affair.
Let me ask you a question. Vinny, the guy who's like, it's a really well-made sandwich.
Yeah.
Do you recognize his voice?
Uh-uh.
He's Piglet.
Aww.
He's the original Piglet.
You know, all the John food he Fiedler. Made, I really got hungry watching that.
Oh, yeah. That's true, because he's doing all that cooking. Yeah. You're like, well, you start getting hungry, you know?
How do you feel about lamb, Oscar? I like lamb. I'm making it this weekend.
Mm-hmm. I love when they're describing the sandwich. He cuts off the crusts and only uses the soft part of the lettuce. Yeah. It's really a well-made sandwich.
And it's not too much mayo.
It's like, well, I... Hey, who dropped a pickle?
He spreads the mail.
Felix, close the delicatessen. You're cooking me right out of a game here.
I love it. Who dropped the pickle? That's not funny.
Poor.
Do you want it? No, well, not if you want it.
It is really weird, though. They had a little, like a metal or an iron door in there. What yeah, is we were, that about?
I was just saying that would be for, like, maybe, like, if you wanted to keep kids out. Like, if you had kids...
They just go around the other way.
Yeah, I guess.
That is kind of weird, but it's such a big apartment. It looks like something out of the Dakota, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a huge thing.
Decoration.
And you can see where the kids used to be before the breakup. Because
it says keep out. It says keep K-E-P. Out.
Spelled wrong. Yeah.
Out.
Also, he's sleeping at the bottom of a bunk bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you get
yeah.
the Cowboys and Indians on the wallpaper. Yeah.
It was a great movie.
Ah, you did like this one? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like
I already knew I was gonna like it though?
Did think. You feel like it was true to their to the character of the TV show, or I'm sorry, of the to the characters in Grumpy Old Men? Did you see where they kind of
yeah, they're just a little more. I know. Even then, Walter still walked really slow. I was like, why are you right. still like an old man?
Right. He always seemed about 10 years older than he was. You know.
But yeah, they're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
In the movie, he just looked really young.
And they're good
friends. Wearing a baseball hat. I've never seen him in a baseball hat.
And they're good friends in real life. That was yeah. the thing. That's a weird thing about both the guys who played him on TV, Jack Klugman and Tony Randall, and Matthau and Lemon were like friends. They became like yeah. lifelong friends.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was something about playing that role that kind of did it. But,
yeah.
Fairly common thing with actors.
Maybe, but that's weird that both sets of people playing that.
Well, because it's such a tour de force. It's really a two-man, you know, most of it is like a two-man project. So you'd have to get close, it seems, yeah.
Patrick, what did you think of this movie? Were you as excited to see it as Justine?
I knew nothing about it. I knew
really?
I didn't. So I had, you know, I could generally glean that it was going to be about some weird relationship just from the title. But I didn't know it was Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
What?
Until the credits rolled, and I was like, oh, cool. But I love this movie. It was fantastic, and I could not stop laughing the
right
whole
on.
Time. Yeah. It was funny till the end, and it is the perfect example of probably one of the best on-screen marriages I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's I was watching at the time and really noticing the nuances in the performance. Like
there was a great part when Oscar, they're talking about Felix and he's bringing all the food left and right and he's complaining to everybody. And you see him actually pick up somebody else's poker chips while he's distracted. While everybody else is distracted by the food. He's just like, what are you guys doing? And he pauses it real quick.
I never noticed that.
It was wonderful.
There's
and
a lot of great business.
Their cards.
Yeah, I mean, he was looking at their hands. Mm-hmm. He was doing all that stuff. It was great.
He's so fun.
There was a lot of really nice small touches.
You owe me $6.80 for the buffet.
For the buffet. A couple sandwiches left over from when you were in high school.
I just like that it was like central around them, though. Because mm-hmm. in the other ones, it's like they're kind of going after the girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
This is really about their relationship.
It is. It's
yeah.
so, I love it.
Yeah.
It's
it was.
Great.
It was a nice buddy film.
It is. It's great.
It's really the original buddy film.
That scene. I watched the scene with the Pigeon Sisters, and just
oh, I love it so much.
Felix is so painfully awkward.
Yes, the way
so bad. It hurts
the,
so
the
bad.
Way Jack, and then the way Walter Matthau is doing, like he's doing all the fake laughing and stuff, and the minute. What does Jack say? He's like, well, it's supposed to rain. And you just see Walter Matthau's face.
His face just drops. He's all, well, that should cool things off.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Or every time he laughed and then yelled out his name.
But
Oscar!
Felix definitely.
Oscar is
and when he comes back in and they're all crying, he's all, what the hell happened? It's been 2 minutes.
Felix feels like the inspiration for Michael Scott.
A little bit. A little. Very much. Very much. Very, very.
Who's Michael Scott?
From The Office.
Ah.
It's very similar to that, yeah.
Neurotic and
crazy.
Jake, what did you think, man?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Just the back and forth between those two is just so great. I could watch them just go back and forth in pretty much any movie, mm-hmm. and I'd be very happy.
You should watch them when they're older.
Yeah, it's good.
Grumpy Old Men is great. add to that Burgess Meredith as Jack Lemmon's dad, and it's fantastic.
And they did a remake of The Front Page together.
Yeah.
With Billy Wilder directing.
Yeah.
And then The Fortune Cookie. And there's another one called Buddy Buddy, where Matthau's a hitman.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So they did like 10 movies together. I think when you add them all up, it's like 10 movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is the best. This is the one. It just, you know, yeah.
Jake, so you had never seen it?
I had never seen it.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I also love that at the end, they end up learning from each other.
Yes.
They all kind of grew from that whole experience where Oscar is a little bit more clean and... Felix was accepting his divorce.
Yeah.
Gracefully.
And I think
two women.
Neil Simon said that he had a hard time ending it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a nightmare. He couldn't come up with a third act.
And somebody...
Yeah. I thought that was great.
Somebody said what they need... I don't remember who it was.
Bring back the Pigeon Sisters.
And bring back the Pigeon Sisters and then make it so that they kind of learn a little something from each other. So they change each other a little bit.
That was a great choice for the ending.
Hey, watch the cigarettes.
Sensitive guys come out on top.
With their drinks, and he's like, "Where's your cup holder? I think I bet it in."
Where's your coaster?
And he's like, "Cause it's gonna leave rings."
Oh yeah.
Because he goes like that whole scene. There's like all the little things, and he's like, "It's because I have footprints." Like, it's so funny.
I love. He says, "Don't complain to me. I'm cooped up with Mary Poppins 24 hours a day." And then when he smells the cards and goes, "He cleaned the cards. He cleaned the cards." And he says, "Nature did not intend for us to play poker like this."
I'm leaving. He just leaves.
I'm leaving.
When they're arguing, he's like, "I'm going to tell you a piece of my mind." He's like, "Well, go ahead."
Oh, he's like,
"I cherish you," or something like that.
Yeah, he's just
"Was I told off? I think I missed it."
That whole
part is a great guy.
You're a great guy. You're a swell guy.
You're tops with me, Oscar.
Yeah, there you go. You're tops with me.
What, was I told off? I think I just missed it. No, here it comes. You're also...
And then there's, of course, the, what is it, Oscar? The cooking, the cleaning, the crying.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the cooking, the cleaning, the crying. That's so great. I'm so glad everyone loved this movie. Mm-hmm. Because when you announced it, I was like, yeah, it's the funniest damn movie. It's just so great.
Let's play a clip of everyone's favorite scene, I think.
It's so cool.
I think it's yours, too.
It is. That's, of course, the...
Stop that, will you? What are you doing?
I'm trying to clear up my ears. You create a pressure inside your head. It opens up the eustachian tube.
I just love the faces of everyone looking. He's just like, are you fucking serious?
He told him he was awkward, and then he's like, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to get louder.
There it is. How was that? I love
so
that.
Everyone's just glaring at him.
I believe that is where they got... I'm serious. I think that was the influence for the When Harry Met Sally scene. The I'll have what she's having.
Oh, is that right?
I feel like it is.
Mm. That was not in the play. They said that there's some. They needed to have a couple scenes... for the movie that we're not inside the apartment, because for the play they never leave the apartment.
John, let me ask you, which one do you prefer? This one? Do you prefer this one? What do you think of this one?
Great tinny.
That's the show.
No, this is the movie.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm.
Listen to that. That's the great Neil Hefti, of course. Wrote the Batman theme. The music is great. Very much a part of the...
It's like another character.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you needed. You needed something that just... The minute you hear it...
This one's for you, John. Let's go shopping for lampshade.
Well, it's what made it not so dark, too. Because he was trying to kill himself.
Oh, my God.
Remember this? They would show this on the show, too. They'd show him, like, around New York.
Right. Right.
Okay, this is the other one that I love, Around New York. This would always be... They cut to the apartment in the show... And it'd be this, and like Oscar was bringing a girl home. You remember that?
Yeah. after him.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to blow your mind. Are you ready? It's for you, John. Here we go.
No matter where they go, they are known as the Cowboys.
What is that?
I've got this album.
Do you really? Why doesn't that surprise me? Who sings that, John?
I don't know, but I think it's Sammy Kahn wrote the lyrics. It's a really great that they didn't use that. That would not have worked.
This is the TV show version. Mm. We're playing all Odd Couple themes today. John, can I ask you a personal question?
I can't even tell the difference. Yeah.
It's the xylophone.
Can two divorced men share an apartment without driving each other crazy?
That was a great setup, because that was a great sort of, like, you know, the story of the TV show.
There were so many
show.
Good scenes in mm-hmm. this movie.
Watch, honestly, if you guys like the movie, the show's a little different. It's a different animal, and I was telling John.
Kind of like MASH is different. They've got to crank out 5 years worth of stories.
It's different. It's really good, but it, like I said, Felix is a little bit more, less self-aware in the show.
And the thing is, you can dive a little deeper. If you're doing 5 years worth of shows, you have to get a little deeper than he's a slob and he's a neatnik, you know?
I just watched one that I thought I'd seen them all. I never knew in the show, because his wife, Felix is a photographer in the show.
Right.
And his wife's name is Gloria, not Frances.
And you actually get to see her. Right?
Yeah. Well, it was one where she worked, where Oscar got her a job at the Playboy Club. And she's working as a Playboy bunny, and Felix goes in there.
And who plays her?
I forgot who the actress was. The same girl through all the show. But he's like yelling at everybody in the club, "Eyes front, mister!" in that Tony Randall kind of way.
No, they're both great. The show is great. And I, as a kid, I probably saw the show before I ever saw the movie. So it's kind of funny. When you see the movie, it feels like a whole different animal. And then you realize that's the whole... You know, that's the whole impetus.
Don't forget that November 13th is Felix Unger Day. Will you remember that, please? November 13th. So what did everybody give this movie? Let's rate it. Let's talk about it. We didn't even talk about the funniest line in the movie.
Is it, I want 4 pounds of fresh? That is fresh. No, it's packaged.
That's not true. I love the whole thing on the rooftop. When he finally just snaps and gets him on the rooftop, he's like, "There's nowhere to go but down now." Yeah. And he goes, "So in other words, you're throwing me out." He's all, "Not in other words, those are the perfect words."
And he's leaving the apartment. He opens the window. It's 12 floors, not 11.
I love it. I know, because that was the final straw. You know, I begged you to come upstairs. You just turned down an evening in a hot house with the cuckoo pigeon sisters. And he's all, "I mean, this is it? This is with the way you're going to be for the rest of your life?" He's all, "We are what we are, Oscar." But that whole thing at the top where he's all, "You know, I got half a mind to do it." He's all, "I know I'm talking. I hear myself." He's all right, I'll go, but let it be on your head. He's all, "What the hell is that? Let it be on your head. Who talks like that?"
Is that a curse? And then he comes back, "I've lift the curse.
I lift the curse. What the hell is that? The curse of the cat people?"
We're all out of cornflakes.
F you. Yeah.
Took me a while to figure out it was Felix Unger.
And then when he says, "Your wife painted your room, I'm going to have it dipped in bronze." Just more great lines. The thing about this movie, it's just more great lines than any comedy you can think of. And the best two guys to be playing these characters.
Watch it. Watch the movie. It's
so
a good one.
It's the best.
I'm glad you guys liked it.
I'm really glad everyone liked it. This is one of my all-time favorite
Next
comedies.
Time you watch Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Ugh.
No, I'd rather watch this,
please.
For the love of God.
That is a better true size of an apartment, though.
Well, it depends on how much money you got.
I was just like, he's rich.
Well, if you're a what do you say? He even said that. He says, "I'm the
top sports writer.
I'm one of the top paid sports writers." And,
but even
and the whole time, I've only saved $8.50
in pennies. In pennies. That's the great sting to that line.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Then, I got to leave by 12 p.m. I got to leave by midnight.
Yeah, I love that. I know, and on top of that, all the great poker.
You got 10 minutes till the next announcement.
All the banter when they're playing poker is just the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good.
Can you blow that cigar toward New Jersey?
Opening the beer. All right. It's time to move on. So what did everybody give the Odd Couple? Justine.
I give it a 9.
Wow. Jake?
Jake?
No, Jake.
Fuck you. I give it a 9. It was really great.
John?
10. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Patrick?
I give this a 10.
Yay!
This was perfect.
Yay!
Good. I give it a 5.
Oh, come on.
Oh, fuck you.
I give it a 6.
No, this is an 8 for me.
Easily an 8.
The only reason I don't give it higher is just because I saw it much later. I had the show when I went into the... Yeah,
I did too.
Yeah.
I saw the show. I had a friend that said, if you grew up on the show and then saw the movie, it almost feels like a pilot.
Yeah, kind of.
And then when you read about it, you go, okay, this is after the play.
Yeah, you know?
I wish there was some audio of the play to hear how Art Carney did Felix.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's anything. All you can do is just see photos and read reviews. But that would have been fascinating to see his take on Felix, you know. But it's now when you think of Felix, you think of Jack Lemmon. There's just no other way around it, you know.
I think of Tony Randall. I do, but that's just because I do like the Jack Lemmon. It's just they're two different characters.
You know, in '75, Jack Klugman and Tony Randall did the play. I don't know if it was L.A. or New York, but they did a short run of the play.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wouldn't that have been so cool to see the two of them doing the play?
I love it. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here's our next movie, guys. What do we got? What do we got?
Attack
Russia. Oh. Base. 10 females to each male.
A Coca-Cola machine.
Shoot the cola Lord. Machine.
The doomsday machine.
Blast off! And of course, is the trailer for Dr. Strangelove.
That's an odd trailer. They do a lot of quick cutting, right?
Yeah.
That's sort of. It's better
than the Odd Couple trailer where it's the movie.
Well, this thing looks like one of those subliminal message. They're flashing it real quick. Little words popping up there.
That's it.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is a war room.
Wouldn't be left a politician.
Oh, hell. Mr. President, about 35 minutes ago, General Jack Ripper, the commanding general of Burleson Air Force Base, issued an order for the planes to attack their targets inside Russia. The aircraft began penetrating Russian radar cover within 25 minutes.
I want to speak to General Ripper on the telephone personally.
General Ripper sealed off the base and cut off all communication. Any force trying to enter there would certainly encounter very heavy casualties.
Staines, get Premier Kissoff on the hotline.
Premier Kissoff is a degenerate atheist.
Mr. President, I formally request that you have the signal.
Mr. President,
I think they're trying the number.
One of our base commanders, he ordered his planes to attack your country.
Check bomb door circuits 1 through 4.
They will not reach their targets for at least another hour. We're just gonna have to help you destroy them.
The fools. The mad fools. The doomsday machine. A device which will destroy all human and animal life on Earth.
Is the Premier threatening to explode this if our planes carry out their attack?
No, sir. It is not a thing a sane man would do. The doomsday machine is designed to trigger itself automatically.
Automatically?
Ah, it's an obvious commie trick, Mr. President. We're wasting valuable time. Look at the big boy. They're getting ready to clobber us.
Dr. Strangelove.
Mr. President, the technology required is easily within the means of even the smallest nuclear power. It requires only the will to do so.
Gentlemen,
you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
General Rivers, as an officer in Her Majesty's Air Force, it is my clear duty to issue the recall code and bring back the wing. You'll excuse me, sir.
That is, of course, Dr. Strange.
Was that another trailer?
That was another trailer.
That was a better trailer.
What did you think of this? Now, had you heard of this movie? Okay, wait. Before, show of hands, how many people had heard of Doctor Strangelove.
Heard of it or watched it?
Had seen it before.
You
had?
No.
I saw the first 15 minutes, and then you told me it was part of the thing, and I stopped.
That was good.
So, Doctor Strangelove, let's talk about how it is. 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb. 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
There you go.
Odd Couple got 100. Patrick, had you heard of this?
I had heard of it. I had never seen it.
Let's start with... Did we start with Justine already?
Mm-hmm.
Did we start with Patrick yet?
Patrick, we have not.
Patrick, let's start with you.
There are so many fantastic lines from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Yes.
It was at first, like, I was like, okay, what am I watching here? And then I started to
when
notice...
When you're watching the bombers refuel with right? really like, romantic
and
music.
It's like, it makes no sense. You're like, okay,
I love how phallic that...
Yeah.
It's Try a Little Tenderness is the music that they're playing. When they're like...
But then it just kind of spirals out of control, and it just got wonderful. And this movie was amazing. And I cannot say that enough. I highly recommend this movie. It was wonderful.
Right I'm on. Glad you liked it. Initial thoughts? Sorry, Patrick.
Go ahead. It's fine. I was done.
I had funny moments.
Oh, fuck you.
Here comes our five. Jake, what did you think?
It was funny. It had some funny moments, yeah.
Yes, that's
no.
It got super, super weird.
Yes.
There were a couple moments like between the general and the assistant general, which I can't remember his name at the moment.
Group Captain Mandrake.
Yeah, Mandrake. And the little bits
and general
between
Turgeon. No, not Turgeon. It was
Buck Turgeon. Jack
Ripper.
D. Ripper.
Jack D. Ripper.
The
yeah.
names in this movie are great.
So great.
Burpleson Air Force.
How about Bat Guano?
General Bat Guano.
He even has to say if that is your real name. Listen,
Colonel
Bat Guano.
Colonel Bat Guano.
Yeah.
I thought Mandrake was funny. The bits between him and then Bat Guano.
Oh yeah.
Did you?
I thought it was pretty funny, but other than that, I thought it was it's okay.
Wow.
Everything in the plane was my favorite part.
Plane was funny.
Those were all funny, and then the only thing I liked outside of it was the Coke machines scene.
How about all the stuff in the war room?
That was fantastic.
Where they're trying to
listen
figure
here,
out
Dimitri. Dimitri, listen. No, put your feet on the ground, Dimitri. We're behind you all the way.
I mean, those parts were funny. They were just okay for me.
Oh,
President Muffley?
Merkin Muffley. God. I know these names are too much.
Straight out of a comic book.
Yeah. President Merkin Muffley.
Yeah.
Did any of you notice that Peter Sellers was playing three roles?
Yes, and it was great. Especially when he was talking to himself.
They wanted him to play the Slim Pickens part originally. And it didn't happen. I think he might have injured himself or something.
No, he said he couldn't do it.
Oh, it was just too many parts.
He said it was too many parts.
Is he the one that won the award and didn't accept it?
No, that's
George C. Scott.
That's for Patton.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is a couple years after.
A couple years later. Which we're going to watch. That's in our next patch.
He's so great. You don't think of him in terms of comedy. We've said that before. You don't think of him as a comedian. But he almost steals the movie.
Just the way he chews the gum.
And all the faces he makes, where they're like, the doomsday bomb, they're describing it. He's got this face like not right. Like, you've got a doomsday bomb. He's got this, like, sour face. You know?
Oh, just when, too, when he's, they ask him, is it possible for the Russian, or for them to be able to do this, for them to make their destination? And he's just like, well, you know, you ever seen them flying real low? And jets
super
and blazing, flashing chickens. And then he goes, hell yeah! Oh, shit. You just see the moment on his face was perfect.
He loves it. He's living for it.
My favorite part is when he's over there going, God, I wish we had one of those doomsday bombs.
Yeah. What about when the secretary calls and he's like, okay, I'll talk to you later, honey, and say your prayers tonight.
And then
Mr. President, we got to beat him in the mine shaft. Yeah.
Yeah. When he keeps explaining what's happening to the president is also great. He's all, you know, slowly he's all, well, it would be great if we could do that, but as you remember, you passed the thing. Yeah.
Well, Dimitri, our pilots went and did a funny thing.
I like when he's like, do you hear me fine? I hear you fine.
That was probably my favorite part was when he was talking with the Russian.
Good to be fine.
It's good to be fine. He's on that the whole
time. Yeah, I'm fine. Well, we can both agree that we're both fine.
It's just
like
the most awkward conversation because he's like trying to explain, hey, we're going to kill
you. I'm fine and you're fine.
I love because it's he's Russian and he's drunk and it's like, how do I tell him this?
Yeah. So if you don't know the plot of Dr. Strangelove, We will explain it to you very quickly. an Air Force general. This is at the height of the Cold War. America's just come through the Cuban Missile Crisis. So the whole plot of the movie is an American general loses his mind and sends the strike codes to one plane to bomb start.
No, it's a squadron
He sends it to like 40 planes.
That's right. I'm sorry. A whole wing.
Yeah.
An attack wing. They only concentrate on one plane, but that's right.
Because that's the plane that gets through. That doesn't get the message.
Yeah. And they basically want to start World War III is what he wants to do. All because he was impotent. It's the whole...
I don't give them my essence.
Yeah.
Oh, that shocked me when he went to the bathroom. As soon as it shot, I was like, what?
You didn't expect that? He knew what was going to happen. He's like, because he's like, I don't know. He asked him about torture. He's like, I don't know what I'll be like. I don't think I can do it.
I jumped in everything. I was like, what? Why?
Oh, my God. You saw that coming.
It's a very, very dark comic.
And the thing is, the book it was based on, Red Alert, was a serious book. And this guy, this British author, he did some research into what would happen. How this could happen, and it was a very serious book. And Kubrick wanted to make it into a movie, and then he realized really quickly there's too much humorous stuff that could be happening. This is so outlandish,
yeah.
It's terrifying. But he says it's, and he did a lot of research. He said, but you could play most of this stuff for laughs. So he said, let's just make it a comedy. And the guy that wrote the book, he came on board. He said, sure. He says, I'll help you write the screenplay. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, because he just said, because there was another movie called Failsafe
with Henry Fonda,
and came out the same year, and they played it straight. Like, what are we going to do, you know? Terrifying. And when you think this is right after the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
We almost did have World War III start.
I know that Kubrick, Ken Adam, the production designer who did the War Room. And,
oh, my God.
He also did all the stuff for James Bond. So he did, like, sets for Dr. No and the sets for You Only Live Twice and all that. He actually got investigated because the B-52s were top secret.
Right.
And he went off of what he thought it would be based on the inside of a B-17. He like modified, okay, now it's a jet. Like, and he got it. He got the details so correct that he was investigated by the Defense Department. But it was all made up. It was, you know.
The other thing I heard was that war room looked so realistic that they said, like when Reagan. It looks like there is no war room like that. And they said when Reagan got elected, one of the first things he wanted to do, he says, oh, let's take a look at the war room. And they're like, no, that's not a real thing. They said that thing looks so functional. It's so real. You know, he says, no, that was just in the movie. There's no war room like that. You know?
I love when he's like, but the map.
The big board.
They'll see the big board.
They'll see the big board.
That part was funny.
Just always chewing the gum.
This movie just has so many great parts.
It does. And then what about when he's going through the kit? Pair of nylons, one 45 caliber pistol,
two lipstick. What was it like?
One package of prophylactics.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have a pretty good time in Las Vegas with this stuff.
Yeah.
Now, originally the line was going to be you have a pretty good time in Dallas with this stuff.
That's right.
And it was so close to the Kennedy assassination, they said, let's change it from Dallas to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Yeah. But I love that. They got the combination Bible and Russian phrase book.
Yeah.
You got gold bars and.
So we watched this movie this morning, and then we would watch this and Night of the Living Dead this morning, and right after we had watched them, the national alert test went off. So I'm like, oh God, son of a bitch, no. We're all going to die.
Either it's zombie apocalypse or it's going to be World War III.
It's either World War III or zombie apocalypse.
So you see this movie, and at the time, you're like sort of like, it's one of those whistling past the graveyard laughs. You know, it's very dark. And now when you think about who's president, you go, Jesus.
It's still very dark.
Well, it would play even screwier. This is a crazy scenario, and now
it's more realistic.
In 2018, you could imagine an even crazier
scenario. You wouldn't have the nice call to Dimitri.
No,
you
no. Wouldn't.
Now, Dimitri, you're fine, and I'm fine. He's so bland.
Oh,
as the,
my God.
He's so
Dimitri, put your feet on the floor when you're talking to me.
I guess he was playing it like Adlai Stevenson.
Yeah, it sure looks like him.
Yeah, I guess that's the way that, by the way, the CRM-114, which is the name of the receiver on the airplane, that's the name of the amplifier that Marty plugs into in the beginning of Back to the Future.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
Oh, my God. It's canon.
It's a CRM-114.
What a great tip of a hat.
That's awesome.
CRM-114. How about that?
Oh, man. Oh, Keenan Wynn is so great in this, too. I love that. You know, we saw, you want me to shoot the Coca-Cola machine? All right. But, you know, you're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Listen, I want you to shoot the lock off of that.
But when he shoots and get the soda in his face. Yeah. So stupid. Yeah.
I was thinking...
See, you liked it. Now that you're thinking about it.
I said that scene and inside the plane.
And you liked the war room when he saw the big board.
Only that, like, that whole part with him, what he was saying, was just so funny to me. How concerned he was. So funny.
They'll see the big board. It's the way he said
it. And he's already grabbing all his papers. And, like,
you see the title on his book. It said, like, War Games or something like that.
Oh, you know what it says? It says Megadeth.
Oh, it's Megadeth.
It says Total Megadeth Survey. Like, that whole thing where he says, I'm talking 100,000 taps.
I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair messed.
I will not go down.
We are rapidly approaching a moment of truth, both for ourselves as human beings and for the life of our nation. Now, truth is not always a pleasant thing. But it is necessary now to make a choice, to choose between two admittedly regrettable, but nevertheless distinguishable post-war environments. One where you got 20 million people killed, and the other where you got 150 million people killed.
You're talking about mass murder, General, not war.
Mr. President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed, but I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops, depending on the breaks.
I will not go down in history as the greatest mass murderer since Adolf Hitler.
Perhaps it might be better, Mr. President, if you were more concerned with the American people than with your image in the history books.
General Turgeson, I think I've heard quite sufficient from you. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, they have the ambassador waiting upstairs.
Oh, good. Any difficulty?
They say he's having a fit about that squad of MPs.
Yes, well, that can't be helped. Have him brought down here straight away.
Yes, sir.
Is that the Russian ambassador you're talking about?
Yes, it is, General.
Am I to understand the Russian ambassador is to be admitted entrance to the war room?
That is correct. He is here on my orders.
I don't know exactly how to put this, sir, but are you aware of what a serious breach of security that would be? I mean, you'll see everything. You'll see the big board.
That is precisely the idea, General. That is precisely the idea.
Oh. Idea.
He'll see the big board.
I'm going to start saying that all the time.
Oh, my God.
The big board.
Mein Führer, I can walk!
We should say that when new people try to play board games with us.
I mean, all that stuff with the hand, choking him. Oh, he can't get the hand to do what he wants it to do. Keeps going up into the Heil Hitler salute.
Yes.
And then it starts choking him. His own hand is choking him.
Mein Führer, I mean...
I mean, President.
I mean, Mr. President.
I love that whole thing. The whole idea of the bomb is not to keep it a secret. Why didn't you tell the world?
We were going to tell them next week.
The premier loves surprises. Yeah.
Surprise!
It's so great.
What did you guys think of My Essence? What did you guys think of that?
Oh, that scene was wonderful.
God, that whole the way they shot him with the cigar.
I first noticed it in the act of lovemaking.
Yeah.
The profound feeling of emptiness.
Yeah.
I will no longer let the communists influence my bodily fluids.
Have you heard of fluoridation of water?
And then he's going, ice cream, children's ice cream.
Yeah.
He's explaining.
Peace on earth, purity of essence.
Yeah. OPE.
I don't give them my essence anymore.
It reminds me, it took me years to make the connection, but I would just say it, and I didn't realize that's where it came from. But there's a scene on Mystery Science Theater, they did a movie called 12 to the Moon. It was a really low-budget 60s movie where they sent an international team to the moon. And they're, like, taking a survey, and they're like, we've got to get some samples. So they blow a hole in a rock. And this liquid comes pouring out. One of the guys goes, "The moon does not deny me its essence."
Wow, you have to know exactly. Not everyone's gonna get that. Yeah,
and it made me laugh, and it was just because of the way he said it, and it was just, "Oh, my essence." I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny.
Such a great scene.
And then years later, I was like, "Oh, that's where it's from." The moon is not.
Boy, and he plays it straight. You know, the way they keep shooting up at him with the cigar going
the smoke
from side
and everything.
To side. Yeah.
So
Take it easy, Mandrake.
So
he's trying to get out. The door's locked, and he's just slowly like, "How do I get out of here?"
So, Jake, where do you think it got weird for you? What do you think? Where do you think this movie took a turn for you?
About halfway through.
Mm-hmm. Like, what was the weirdness? We want to get into why you didn't like it.
It was the whole thing with Ripper, and there was the whole essence thing.
That's the best
scene. Which I thought
scene.
Was kind of funny, but I'm like, this is kidding. Like, really.
That's when really you realize weird. That he's nuts. Mm-hmm. It is weird, and it's like he's completely out of his mind. You know?
That, and then the whole, what they're in the, when they're in the bomber,
uh-huh.
And he was like riding it like a fucking horse.
That's the thing.
Rides the missile down.
That's pretty crazy. You know, he's whooping it up and swinging his hat. Wow!
That's one of the greatest closing scenes of all time.
It's a hell of a thing because they follow that bomb right to the impact. Mm-hmm. You know?
What did you think? So, Justine, what didn't you like about it?
I wasn't a huge fan of the war room. It had funny moments, but not enough for me.
And that's exactly where most of the movie does take place. So. I can see why you didn't.
It was funny mm-hmm. when he said no fighting in the war room. Like, that's funny. But
you know, it's very dry. It's very dark, but it's very dry. A lot of it is just, mm-hmm. you know, tightly wound.
Yeah, it didn't have me laughing out loud. Yeah. I was just like, oh, funny.
You should have watched Dr. Strangelove before The Odd Couple.
We did.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, this is the movie that every time you see it gets a little better because you start noticing things. Because there is a lot of technical jargon and a lot of things. You know, it's very, you know, very dry military stuff. And
that's the stuff Justine likes.
Yeah.
But I
well, then she should have loved that. She should have loved that.
Everything in the plane was just better. I just liked it so much.
I just love the way it cuts from what's going on in the plane. They're getting closer and closer to the target. And, you know, it starts like, you think, okay, they're going to have to ditch. They don't have enough fuel. Okay, we can't make the first target. We can't make the secondary target. And then finally just all, what the hell? We have just enough to...
Yeah. What's the closest thing we can blow up?
Yeah. And all the planes have been recalled except one. I love how it's just right to the end. They go, okay, they're all recalled. Oh, there's one.
Yeah, oh, they shot down four.
There's
oh, wait,
one they
no,
can't. And you see
three.
On the big board, all they're removing all the path lines. Mm-hmm. You know? And there's just one left. He says, well, there's nothing we can do. You know, they're trained to have initiative. You're just going to have to shoot down that plane. You know exactly where they're going. And they're not going there. No radio communication. I mean, they just keep removing everything that would save the day. No radio communication. They can't get in touch with them. It's just crazy.
I love it.
And then they keep cutting down to what's going on in the war room.
And you get to see Dr. Strangelove appear at the very end.
The mine shaft. I know. I can walk. The mine shaft gap. They're already trying to figure out, okay, you know, who do we take down into the mine shaft?
Yeah.
You know, now it's going to be 10 women to every man.
That's it.
Crazy.
The president. The president has to go.
They're all having drinks, and they're all kind of thinking about it. Well, of course, we'll all be there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, of course, politicians and scientists and generals, we'll all have to go.
But how long do they have to get there? And where's the closest mine shaft?
I love how they're planning that, and it's like there's no time, you know? They think they've got time, and there is no time because that last shot. We'll meet again. Don't know where. That's a horrific ending. You see all the bombs going off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The doomsday device. Mm. Well, we ruined the ending if you've never seen it. It's great.
Right.
Patrick, what'd you think? Give it a rating.
10. I loved every Aces. Second of this movie.
Aces.
Justine.
6.
Okay, better than Casablanca.
I'll give it a 6.1.
No, it's better than Casablanca.
6.1.
Because I'm really close to a 5, but...
Jakey.
I'm actually going to agree with Justine on this one.
Give it a 6?
Yeah.
No class.
This is a 10. This is an absolute 10 from every standpoint. In my book, it's a 10.
I'm going to give this a 9.
Why a 9? What keeps it from being a 10?
I don't give out 10.
What seals the deal for you?
You know,
what would have sealed the deal
for
you?
This is close to a 10.
Is there fluoride in your water?
There's probably fluoridation of water.
Whenever like people ask me what my top 10 movies are, this is always in the top 10.
John, there's like, I only give out 5. I have maybe 5 movies with a 10 rating.
Mm.
The Godfather 2 is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Raiders of the Lost Ark?
That's 10.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park?
No.
Arrival?
No. Jurassic Park's an 8. Arrival's about an 8. Yeah. It's hard. Get Out? I'm stingy. Ooh, Get Out's pretty close to a 10.
You were going back and forth between a 9 and 10.
Yeah, it's pretty close to a 10. I'd give it a 9 right now, but if you ask me more.
Porky's?
Oh, yeah. That's a Meatballs?
Breakfast at Tiffany's, right?
Breakfast at Tiffany's? That's a 10. 10 point. What'd I give The Odd Couple? 8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd I give Night of the Living Dead? 8 or 9?
9.
You guys might be able to talk me into a 10 for Doctor Strange.
I could do it. I could just keep quoting. I'm going to just quote just lines from quoting. The movie all day.
All you have to do is watch it again, yeah. It's funny because I thought I can
we
probably...
We have a ratio of
Sir,
10
I have a
women,
plan.
2 men.
Yeah, I thought you would love it for just for all the accents he was doing.
I liked him.
Because you're such a good
mimic.
He
wasn't even in there that long, though. He I was mean, in there for maybe what? Strangelove?
Yeah, but he was also Mandrake.
He's also doing Mandrake. He's
and he's the president.
And he's the president.
The proper
it's
British
accent.
It's the same accent. Guy. I wasn't
paying
that
much that was the best part is that it was him three times.
I thought Jake is such a mimic. He's going to love this. That he's doing
yeah, he was
three
the president.
Accents.
He was Mandrake and he was...
He was so good
great
as
actor,
president.
Good job.
He was so good
he's
as
so
the president.
Tightly wound.
There were there were characters I liked, but I didn't really like the movie itself that much.
Watch. I would say watch it again.
I might like it.
It just
more
gets better
again,
for me. It gets better every time I see it.
I'm gonna hold the mic like a big jerk. How are you guys doing?
What are we watching next week?
That's like Jack Jones.
Now we're gonna move on into the funky 70s, guys. We got 3 movies coming up.
Okay.
First is a sequel.
Ooh.
Of what?
A sequel to something we've watched.
This is a sequel to something we watched. It's a little movie we like to call Beneath the Planet.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Beneath the Planet of
now,
what?
Now, was it Justine that was kind of interested in the sequels?
Beneath the Planet.
Beneath the Planet of
you
the
had some.
Beneath
the Rise, Planet. Rise of the Dawn of the War of the Planet.
You were expressing interest in the sequels, weren't you?
I wanted to know what happened.
Are now
we
you're going
are we
to.
Gonna get to escape from the?
We're
going to
see them all, John. We're going to see them all.
Because I think that's the one.
All of them?
I think you're going to feel like.
I love the tone of voice. All of
how
them?
How many?
5.
In the original run, there are 5.
I mean, saw one where it looked like it was like the 70s and they were getting married or something.
Well, that's.
It looked super cheesy.
Bride.
But it looked
of the
like
Planet
it was a TV
apes.
Show, not a movie.
Yes.
We're going to see it?
They lose budget, so
they got
all
married?
Look like they're not married. It's when they're walking around in clothes.
No.
He marries an ape?
Married.
Oh, maybe that might have been on the show.
Okay, yeah, that's why it looked like it was a show.
Yeah. All
right, here we go.
Okay, what's next?
How great is that? Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
It's like, boy, that's got some crazy stuff.
Patton.
Ooh.
Patton. Uh-huh. About General Patton. Starring George C. Scott. They'll see the big board.
Pretty much doing the same voice.
Wait, he plays Patton?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
He won an Academy Award and turned it down. For that role.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
A little movie for Justine. Throw her a little bone there. Dirty Harry, starring Clint Eastwood.
We're going to see it? I'm very curious about that one. Every time I look up things for Clint Eastwood, it always shows Dirty Harry.
You feeling lucky, punk?
What is this
do
Dirty
ya?
Harry?
What's up, buddy?
Yes. Okay. Beneath Planet of the Apes, Dirty Harry.
And
Patton.
Patton.
Who's that?
General George Patton, World War II.
You know, famous... General?
Who?
Fuck.
You'll find out all about him when you watch the movie.
Exactly.
World War what?
Exactly.
World War Deuce.
I love that. World War what now?
Who?
This was that?
When were we in World War?
From 1941 to 1945. And before that, 1917 and 1918.
That's it?
Yeah.
Only 2?
We come in at the end.
Only 2?
we're 2-time World War champions over here. Christ. I don't know if you know that.
They started in 1946.
You know, we made money. We made a lot of money from the first one.
We did.
Not as much in the second
one. We didn't give any to the Germans, though, and that caused part 2. What?
Do you know when they first started putting fluoride in the water? 1946.
How's that for your commie conspiracy?
Children's ice cream.
Children's ice cream, Mandrake.
God.
Okay, well, I hope you guys enjoyed everything.
So is that going to be next week or the week after?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. Okay.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Patton and Dirty
Harry.
You
really liked that movie, didn't you?
What, Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend
move
what everybody
table.
Should do. Yeah, hey, woo, it raised.
We're in the 70s now.
Go home and watch it if you haven't seen it before.
Yeah.
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 Watch that and watch The Odd Couple. You can skip Night of the Living Dead.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. You can you know watch Doctor Strangelove because it seems like it's you'll either hate it or love it.
It was great.
Let's do Dawn of the Dead for Halloween. We'll add Dawn of the Dead to the mix.
Uh-huh.
Four
the 1978
movies?
Dawn of the Dead. No. We're gonna do Dawn of the Dead. We're going to do Halloween. This will be the Halloween show.
Oh, okay.
We'll do the original. Giving it us big time in advance.
We'll do the original Halloween. We'll do Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm typing, Justine. Hold on.
And let me see. I'll think of a third 70s horror
movie. Weren't
we
doing Alien?
Oh, yeah. Alien. The original Alien.
There you go.
The first one.
The original Alien.
Yes. I love that movie.
Yep. I have never seen Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Can you believe that?
You're going to love it. Yep. All right, guys.
Thanks.
So,
see ya.
Until next time, set your CRM114 to
OPE.
OPE. Avoid the fluoridation.
Don't give them your essence.
Close that mind shaft gap. Hold on to your essence.
That's probably just killing people's eardrums. Yep. Sorry about that. Sorry, folks.
Until next time,
we will say...
It smells like spaghetti.
Fight the power. And this transmission ends now.
No music?
Nope. No music.
Nicole's going to be so mad this episode.
Yep.
Everybody.
Again. Don't know when. Don't know when. But I know.